Say this, that faith alone saves, but faith that saves is never alone. That these things go together, that faith results in works. Now, works don't bring about faith, but that faith, true faith, results in works. We read earlier in Ephesians 2, 8 through 10, right? And there it is again. It's these two things totally together. Verses 8 and 9 talk about God's grace, right? For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. This not of yourselves, is a gift of God, not by works, so that no man can boast. That's 8 and 9. And then what does verse 10 say? It follows up. It's saying, you've been created by God to do good works. That he's got them stored up for you. You're not saved by works, but there's good works that God has for you to do. So Christians don't work for God's favor. That's given to us when we repent and believe. But out of God's favor, good works flow. So if you're in God's favor, if God's Spirit is at work in you, then good works are going to abound in you, as Paul puts it here. And he's calling for that. He's not saying, hey, don't worry about works. He's saying, abound in good works. These are good things to do. So abounding in the work of the Lord includes both word and deed. Sharing the gospel with others, so verbally proclaiming it. That's a lot of what Paul was doing. And living it out. So sharing the gospel with others and living it out. Therefore, my beloved brothers, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Let me point this out. He probably wouldn't have said that he throws on this phrase, knowing that your labor is not in vain. Do you think he would have said that if we never felt like our labor was in vain? He's speaking to a reality that we all feel here, right? Otherwise, he wouldn't have said it. Knowing that your labor is not in vain. It means, in part, your labor is going to feel like it's in vain sometimes. And you're going to need to know and remember the truth of the Scripture, which actually says your labor, though it feels like sometimes it's in vain, it is really not in vain, right? The words that you share that seem to just hit a brick wall, that were for him, that you felt like God led you to say him, and it felt like nothing good happened. The works that you did, that you felt like God led you to do, and nothing good happened from it, right? It seems like nothing good happened from it. Paul says here, your labor, if it's in the Lord, it's not in vain. It's never in vain. People we share with don't always respond the way we would like. Our work doesn't always have the impact or the effect we desire. Sometimes life can feel really monotonous, right? You just feel like you're a hamster on a wheel. You just keep going around. Every day feels the same, and nothing ever really changes. I want to invite you to turn with me to the front of your bulletin. There's a quote there by C.S. Lewis, and this is a great quote. We've looked at this before. We'll look at it again. I'm going to read it, and you can look at it there. It says this. It says, hope is one of the theological virtues. This means that a continual looking forward to the eternal world is not, as some modern people think, a form of escapism or wishful thinking, but one of the things a Christian is meant to do. It does not mean that we are to leave this present world as it is. If you read history, you will find that the Christians who did most for the present world were just those who thought the most of the next. So Paul is in 1 Corinthians 15. He's talking about the reality of the resurrection and the reality of the world to come. And then he says, and now do good works. Where you are, in the place you are, think about what's coming and do good works where you are. So C.S. Lewis is saying that when you have an eternal perspective, your life in the here and now changes. Now, I had this illustrated well to me when I was in college, my freshman year. Our campus pastor, he had some folks grab a long spool of thread, and somebody started in the corner and they unspooled it, and the other person basically went out of the room. So imagine one person over here holding the thread, and they take it and it goes all the way out through the door on the other end. And then he asked if anybody had a piece of gum. Was anybody chewing gum? And he got some nasty gum. Somebody went to the end over there, and he put the gum on the string. And he said this. He said, this is your life on this earth. right, as you hear now. And the rest of the string represents eternity. So what it visually communicated to us was this reality that how small our lives actually are, no matter how long. I mean, if you live to be 100 years old, that's great. But it's still, in comparison to eternity, an incredibly small amount of time, right? And he spoke to us, and he kept pointing back to the gum. He said, what I'm calling you to, what I'm asking you to do, is to live in light of the whole string, not just the piece of gum. To not think that the piece of gum is all that there is. To not just be focused everything on the piece of gum, but to look at the whole string every single day, to process through. What is it to recognize that my life is so much bigger than this 60 or 80, 100 years, that I'm made to live for eternity, an eternity that is so much bigger than I can possibly imagine. And to not live in light of the smallness of this world. Though, does this world matter? Yes, it does. But it's not all that matters. God's made us for eternity. He's put eternity in our hearts, and there's this reality to time that we need to grasp and process through. We can sacrifice, right? We can lay down our lives if that's what God calls us to, because we aren't just living for the piece of gum. We recognize that there's something bigger that we're called to. And so I ask you this question here. Have you developed an eternal perspective? That's part of what 1 Corinthians 15 is meant to help us do. Have you developed an eternal perspective? How often do you think about eternity? How often do you think about life with God after death in the new heavens and new earth? I would invite you to try and figure out some ways to think about that a lot. To daily, to think about eternity, to think about the new heavens and the new earth, to not just have it be every once in a while that you think about it, but to think about it. C.S. Lewis said, the people who do the most good in this world are the people who think about the next the most, right? So to stir that up in you, to stir that up in each other, to say we want to have an eternal perspective on our lives. If you're here and you're not sure that Jesus' resurrection is a big deal, maybe you think Christianity's just primarily about being moral, primarily about nice people trying to be nicer. The reality is what Paul is getting at here is that's not it. We want you to see that the resurrection is actually a huge deal, that it's central to Christianity, that it's not about just us being moral in the time that we're on the piece of gum, right? It's about this reality that God has stepped into time and space, and that He has done the work that we couldn't have done, lived the life we couldn't have lived, died the death we could have that we should have died, and rose again to prepare for all of God's people an eternity with Him. And so if you're here and you haven't responded to Jesus, we invite you to that, to reflect on the reality of how long eternal life really is, to process through that. You don't earn your way into a glorious future. You fall on your face and receive it, right? Now, Dr. Jack Arnold was the founding pastor of Covenant Presbyterian Church outside of Orlando. And he retired from the church and founded an organization called Equipping Pastors International. And Equipping Pastors International was focused on, it was this guy who'd retired from his church going around to different churches in the Middle East and in Africa and equipping them, recognizing, hey, there's a lack of theological education. So going around and equipping pastors in places and encouraging them where they were. And he came back to his home church, the church that he founded, to preach Mission Sunday at that church. And this January 2005, he's preaching a mission sermon. And it was entitled The Cost of Discipleship. It was from Luke 14. And Dr. Arnold was trying to channel the call of Jesus to laying down of things for God's people, the call for his children to follow him. And he told a lot of stories that day. He told the story of his dad's comments to him when he told his dad he wanted to go to seminary. His dad said, son, you're a blankety blank fool. You know, what you're giving your life to is just foolish. He in the sermon, he quoted Jim Elliot, who said, you might have heard this, he is no fool who gives up what he cannot keep to gain what he cannot lose. He quoted Dietrich Bonhoeffer, when Jesus calls a man to himself, he bids him come and what? die, right? He quoted his favorite verse, Philippians 1:21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. That's right. He quoted John Wesley saying, until my work on this earth is done, I'm immortal. That until my work on this earth is done, I'm immortal. What's that saying? That's saying God's got me, right? That the hairs on my head are numbered. The days that he has for me are I don't know what they are, but he knows what they are. And up till that day, I'm immortal. So he said that. He said this, and he continued after the quote about being immortal until their days are done. He continued, said, but when my work for Christ is done, and he slapped his hands together and he pointed up to the sky. He said, I'm out of here. When my work for Christ is done, I'm out of here. I don't know about you, but when my work on earth is done, I go to be with Jesus. And that will be gain. And when I go to heaven, he said, and when I go to heaven, and he looked up and he swayed a little bit and he fell back. He passed away. Medical professionals who were in the room said he was probably dead before he hit the ground. He had a massive heart attack. He was 69. He'd had heart problems, and he'd been preaching. And he just got himself so, he was going so hard. But CNN picked up the story, right? And the title was Preacher Dies with Heaven on His Lips. And Kelly and I were there. I mean, it was like being in this room. You know, it was like 200 people there. And we're watching this and experiencing this and going, oh my gosh, like that just happened. Like all sorts of emotions, all sorts of things going on. But what happened was it went from somebody talking about death to actually dying. Let me tell you what, those things don't normally go together, right? You know, normally there's talking about death, and it's removed from anybody actually dying. And the reality is that we tend to sanitize death, that it happens somewhere else, that most of the time most folks don't see it, that it's something that happens in other places. You die in front of 200 people, it's a public thing. And you're mic'd up. You know, the reality is that oftentimes that we can act like death is something out there that happens one day to some people. And the reality is that death is something that's happening every day. It's happening all the time. It's no respecter of persons, right? Doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how healthy you are. It doesn't matter, none of those things. It doesn't care if you're rich or poor. The reality is that death is happening all the time, everywhere. And that all of us, unless Jesus comes back, either today or at another point, will face this reality. Sometimes death seems really close, and sometimes it feels really far away. Sometimes it feels like your life is just going to go on forever and ever. But Paul's been telling the Corinthians in chapter 15 that they need to be fixated on the reality of how things end. They need to be fixated on the coming future, the coming of Jesus, and his coming back. In this future, based on the first fruits of Jesus' resurrection, that Paul's pointing the Corinthians to, and he's proclaiming to them that this future should make a difference in your life now. That this future that's promised you should make a difference in your life now. It should make a difference in your friendships. You can think about some applications. This should make a difference in how you work, whether inside the home or outside the home. It should make a difference in your dating life. It should make a difference in how you view and hold to your sexuality. It should make a difference in your speech. It should make a difference in what you do and how you view your money. It should make a difference in how you make your housing decisions. Should make a difference in every way that you wield any power that God has given you. Any way that you wield any power that God has given you. The reality of the resurrection, the reality of eternity is meant to make a difference in your life. See, Jesus' resurrection and your promised future based on his resurrection should make a difference in every nook and cranny of your life. That's how Paul's finishing this chapter. Friends, what are the nook and crannies that you want to keep hidden? What are the things that you don't want the reality of the resurrection to shine light on? What are the things that you think, nah, I'm good. You can mess with this, you can mess with this, you can mess with this, but don't mess with this. What are the things you're defensive about? What are the things you don't want to talk about in Northside Group? Those are questions to help you sort through. What are the nooks and crannies you don't want the reality of the resurrection to shine its light on? Friends, the reality is, as Paul has said here in 1 Corinthians over and over and over again, it's all about the resurrection. It's all about the resurrection. If Jesus wasn't resurrected, then nothing matters. But if Jesus was resurrected, then everything matters. Let's pray. Father, we're thankful for this chapter. We're thankful for 1 Corinthians 15. And God, we pray that by your Spirit, Lord, would we live in light of eternity? Would you help us contend daily with the reality that death is at our doorstep, that today could be the day where we meet you face to face. And Father, we pray that by your Spirit, you would do a work in us, that as we ponder, as we sit in, as we soak in the glorious inheritance of the saints, that we would be willing to live differently today, that we would give today because we know what we've got coming, that we would love today, even when it's hard, because we know we're going to experience love and fullness in the future. Would we sacrifice today because we know we don't have to get it all now? Lord, would you, by your Spirit, produce abounding good works in and through the individuals and in and through this church collectively? We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. As is our custom, we're going to take a moment and prepare our hearts for the Lord's Supper.